What snack led to a war in 2008?
Find out next on Junk Food.
Welcome to Junk Food, the podcast about junk food, where we rate and review mystery treats to determine which one will be the undisputed champion of snacks. I'm your host, Mike. Alongside me, as always, Alyssa.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Liz.
So, guess what?
What?
So, I figured something out. Ready?
Okay.
Whenever I try to eat healthy, a chocolate bar kind of like looks at me and just like snickers.
The chocolate bar looks at you and snickers. Oh, my goodness. Snickers, the candy bar named after a horse, Alyssa.
Hey there.
Which we knew because we did that on the, what was that, the third show ever?
I don't know.
The third episode of Junk Feud was Snickers.
Yeah.
But it's the, because it means laughing. So it was the horse that laughed.
Like Snickers.
The horse, and the horse had a face, and the doctor said, "You're a horse." Am I telling
you? Stop!
Anyway, that was a dad joke, a joke you tell to your dad. If you'd like to submit a dad joke for Alyssa to tell me on the show, you can send it into us via X or Threads or Blue Sky at JunkFeudPod, or via email to JunkFeudPod@gmail.com. Liz!
What?
Welcome back once again to the world's yeetest podcast, the obviously.
The yeetest show on earth, obviously. Uh-huh. Very mid, give him the icks, super bust, and hit him with the rosy chin.
Liz.
Yeah.
You had some friends over yesterday.
Yeah.
You had a play date. Do you call them play dates in seventh grade?
I don't know.
Or do you just say like, yo, you want to come hang out?
Probably the second one.
Probably just say, yo, do you want... When you are texting your friends to arrange a play date that you don't call a play date, what do you say? Like, how does that happen?
You're just like, want to hang out today, like that.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
It's that easy?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't like, you don't actually call and talk to them, do you? You probably just text.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're on a FaceTime that's been going on for like 6 hours.
Like me, Brooke and Dean.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Brooke and Dean. Liz, you had some boys over to the house yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I don't know. Fun, I guess.
Fun, you guess.
What do you want me to say?
I don't know. I mean, describe the interaction.
Like, would you rather me say, oh my gosh, it was so boring?
Well, if that was the truth, yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I think you guys seemed like you were having fun, right?
Yeah, we played basketball and me and Amelia beat them.
You and Amelia, shout out to Amelia, beat the boys at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Liz, when
their
the boys-
jump shots were horrendous.
Oh, well.
No shout outs be given.
Yeah, step your game up, fellas, I guess.
Pal.
Pal, boys. Boys with a Z. Liz, the boys came over to the house. This was their first time here. They were obviously very polite and well-behaved, good kids. But here's the thing. Mom put out snacks.
Yeah.
Does mom put out snacks when the girls come over to hang out?
No.
No. She was on her best behavior, wasn't she?
Yes. And she did her hair and everything.
Shout out to your mom. Here's a funny thing I've noticed. Sometimes, if there's like an expectation that you're socially hosting, if it's new friends that are coming over or they're bringing their parents or whatever, there's sort of this idea that you should have some snacks, some things to pick on while you sit around and talk, right?
Yeah.
And so what did mom put out yesterday?
She put out Hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos, obviously, because we have the Hot Cheetos surplus from the great Hot Cheetos versus Taki two-part episode of 2024.
We had big plate of fruit.
A big plate of fruit, something that makes it appear as though you are healthy and responsible, right?
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. So we put out the Hot Cheetos.
They're like popcorners.
Popcorners, sure. Another one of those foods that's like a snack food that's masquerading as a healthy food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a chip, but it's popcorn.
Yeah.
So the popcorn is supposed to be good-ish for you, right?
Yeah.
It's a grain, a whole grain.
Yeah.
What else? Fruit, popcorners, Hot Cheetos, obviously. There were some Snap Pea Crisps, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those little things that also are pretend healthy food because they're just crunchy salt, but they are green and they're made from peas, even though they taste like...
Salt.
Salt, yes. Just crunchy salt. They're very good, by the way. I love the texture.
I love them so much.
I love the flavor. I like the form factor because they look like a little pea.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. It's very interesting. I don't understand this obsession with having the healthy snacks at playdates or, sorry, hangouts. Would we call this a hangout because you're big now?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, Liz, there was no... Come on over, let's have a play date, let's put out a spread of snack foods, things that are good for you, like fresh fruit, popcorners, Snap Pea Crisps, none of this. If we were lucky, there was like an old box of raisins that somebody found in the couch cushions that we would sneak. Or like, I remember one time I went to this this guy's house. His name was Jason, and he always had really good video games. We always went to Jason's house to play the good video games. And he was eating, I want to say it was a box of Oreos. He just had a box of Oreos sitting next to him, and I ate one of the Oreos, and he was livid, so angry with me. And he just looked and he was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm having an Oreo." And he's like, "Without even asking, you touched my snacks without asking?" And I was like, "I don't know. We're all just sitting here like crisscross applesauce on your carpet playing Super Tecmo Bowl. The box of Oreos is here. It's communal food at that point, right? Like if somebody brings the thing out, you don't have to ask for it."
Yeah.
It's just an expectation that you're sharing.
Yeah.
Anyway, no shout out to him either.
How old were you?
Well, let's see. He moved away right after Kurt Cobain died. So like, I don't know. We were probably like second or third grade.
Oh, then never mind. If you guys were in like second or third grade, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, I was insulted.
Well, Chase is in third grade and he's sassy like that.
He's sassy, but he would never.
Like if I try to take a chip from him, I'd be like, please.
Oh, sure. But you're his sister and he thinks that's a game that you guys are playing. I mean, if he had friends over and he got snacks out, he would obviously
Adam,
share his
like
snacks.
They literally sit on the floor and eat.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Adam.
And play video games.
Exactly. So that was weird, right?
Yeah.
It's weird to get snacks out at a play date and then refuse to share them or be angry about it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, that's sort of the exception. When I was little, there were no, like I said, there were no snacks really. I remember my friend Michael, when we would watch Star Wars, had like a bag of barbecue chips that he would smuggle out of his pantry and we would eat those while we were watching the movie. But mostly it was just like, you go to somebody's house, you go outside to play, and then you come back in when it's dark out and you go home and eat dinner. And that was it.
That's what me and Max used to do.
That's right. I mean, that's a great way to be. If you have a sort of a gang of young kids in the neighborhood, you send them all outside, you go on adventures, you come back when you're ready.
Yeah, like it was always me, Max, and Jax, and we would always just wander around the neighborhood.
Yeah, shout out to Max and Jax.
Yeah.
Liz.
What?
All this talk about healthy snacks at playdates reminds me of this week's snack.
Up next on Junk Food, it's...
hummus.
Let's just say it. Hummus.
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 It's fun to say hummus.
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 You have to get into it. Hummus.
Okay. Hummus.
Liz, what's hummus?
It's a Middle Eastern dip.
Yeah, you might call it a spread, maybe. What's it made from?
Cooked, mashed chickpeas mixed with tahini, lemon, and garlic.
That's right. The word hummus literally means chickpea in Arabic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just chickpeas, and they're mashed up, and there's some other stuff mixed in there to give them flavor and texture.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our show. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Liz.
What?
You might have noticed a weird word in that description. No, it's tahini. Yeah.
Yes.
Tahini, that's fun to say. So already two fun words to say. Hummus.
Okay.
And tahini.
Hummus.
Uh-huh.
And tahini.
Liz, what's tahini?
It's like a paste made from ground sesame seeds.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's interesting that it has a name, right? Because you usually just use simple terms to describe things that everybody already knows. Like a lemon is just a lemon. There's lemon in the recipe. It's lemon. Garlic.
But Chickpea.
Chickpeas, right? But ground sesame seeds have their own special name. They're not just sesame seeds that are ground up. It's tahini.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's fun to say. It's a silly sounding word. It is.
What else is fun to say?
What's that?
Old man.
Well, it's not as fun as tahini. Chickpea is fun. Chickpea has some other names that are actually, I think, even more fun. Oh, how about this? This is not in the notes. The liquid in the chickpea can that you opened today, spoiler alert, that you got everywhere. Do you know what that stuff's called?
You told me, but I don't remember.
Aquafaba. That's fun to say too. Tahini, hummus, aquafaba. It sounds like we're invoking, like we're chanting a spell. We're going to try to... what was it? Klaatu Barada Nikto, the day the earth stood still.
Habanera Habad. Never mind. I was about to read it and then I forgot.
Aquafaba, tahini, hummus. Liz, I was just mentioning there are some other names for chickpeas. The big deal about hummus is chickpeas, obviously. Do you like chickpeas, Liz?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of chickpeas. They're good in a salad. I like them roasted and salted, like a crunchy salt snack, because obviously I can't eat tree nuts, so I have to find something that satisfies that crunchy salt craving that doesn't make me feel gross, like if I ate a whole bag of Doritos or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I would get like a big number 10 tin can of chickpeas at Costco and toss them with olive oil and salt and put them on a half sheet pan and roast them until they were all crispy. That was really nice. Grammy likes those.
Oh, I want to try something. Lookma, we made it one day. I want to try this thing called a cucumber salad that's like, I don't know, been going viral.
Viral cucumber salad?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cucumber salads have been around for a long time.
No, so you put like a tiny cucumber in between chopsticks. And then when you cut it, it cuts like halfway, so it's like a spiral. And then you split them.
So it's a spiralized cucumber?
No, but...
I mean, we have a spiralizer.
No, not like that.
Not like that.
And it has... I don't know. It looks pretty good, though.
Well, I mean, I'm familiar, Alyssa, obviously, with something like an Asian cucumber
salad.
Yeah,
see what I mean?
Oh, I see. So it's... Yeah, it's just a spiralized...
But then, like, cucumber, seasoned.
But it's mixed with the traditional Asian cucumber salad... Seasonings. Yeah, those are really good. I like those a lot. You get them sometimes as a side at some moderately fancy Asian restaurants. Very good. Liz, chickpeas, also like cucumbers, very good in salads.
Yeah.
I like to add them into vegetable soups. That's pretty good.
And in cowboy caviar.
Cowboy caviar. So I think those are dry pigeon peas, right? But they look an awful lot like chickpeas, don't they?
Yeah.
It's very similar. They're sort of like black-eyed peas, almost something like that, but green, more green, I think. Does that sound about right? Liz, my favorite thing.
We need more of that.
There's still a ton of it in the fridge.
Is it still good though?
Yeah, it's still good. Liz, my favorite thing about chickpeas is that you can call them all the different names that they have. So like, for example, in India, they're called chana.
Aren't they called like garbanzo beans or something?
That's right. Also called garbanzo beans. So we have garbanzo, hummus, tahini, aquafaba.
Chana masala.
Chana masala. Yeah. Chana masala is the dish your mom gets at the Indian restaurant that we like for lunch when we go there and they have their little lunch plates. Garbanzo bean, I think, is probably the most fun thing to say. It sounds like an insult that Bugs Bunny might use.
Yeah.
Like, hey there, garbanzo bean. That wasn't a very
Chase
good Bugs
Bunny.
Chase
keeps calling me a tin can.
He keeps calling you a tin can?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but that's pretty funny.
He goes, get off of me, you big tin can.
All right, that's pretty good. Shout out to Chase. Liz.
What?
Another word for garbanzo beans, chickpeas, chi-chi beans, Liz.
Chi-chi beans?
Chi-chi beans. That's what Aunt Kathy calls them. You ever hear her say that?
No.
Get the chi-chi beans? Yeah. I think it's like an Italian thing. It's on the can that we used today because we used a can of Cento chickpeas, and it said chi-chi beans right on it. I think that the term itself is actually derived from the old Latin and later French terms for chickpea. That was like the name of it for these protein-rich legumes, as they say.
Legume.
Yeah, so we were speaking about old Latin just now. Liz, also speaking of old stuff, you're not going to believe this. The history and invention of hummus is in dispute.
Really?
Of course. I mean, that's kind of the origin of everything that we talk about on this show, just about... this one is a bit of a to-do, honestly, and we're probably going to get in trouble a little bit for what we're going to say today, because I don't know the whole history of this, and it is hotly contested, I should
say. Lots of India.
A little bit of India, yeah,
Syria.
For sure. See, that's right. So, speaking of Syria, Alyssa, just about every Middle Eastern country and some other countries around the world has tried to lay claim at one point or another to the invention or at least the historical and cultural legacy of hummus. At
really?
One point or another. That's right. The Lebanese, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Israelis, the Palestinians, the Syrians, the Turks, and of course, like you said, even the Indians and Nepalese have all...
What about the Italians?
No, not the Italians, surprisingly
enough.
They
were too busy making pasta.
Too busy making pasta. Way to fall into that stereotype, but probably true, actually.
Well, it's not really a stereotype if we're Italian.
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay.
Aren't
well,
we a lot of bit Italian?
A lot of bit? I like. You know what's funny about that? Speaking of stereotypes of Italians, that was a line from a commercial. I like a lot of bit of cheese, rigatoni. You like a little bit of cheese? I like a lot of bit of cheese.
Stop.
What was that from? Chef Junior. That's right. Chef Boyardee Junior. From 1997. I like a lot of bit of cheese or rigatoni. That's right. Oh, man. Way to bring me back there, Liz. Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Is it okay to play into stereotypes if you are of that persuasion?
Yes.
It's okay to make fun of yourself and all your other people?
Yeah.
Do you know there are some people that don't agree with that, obviously?
Well, why?
Well, I mean, the feeling is that things that are offensive are just offensive no matter who it is that says them.
But I am one of you.
That's right. So I'm thinking specifically of, there's a YouTuber, a guy named Nigel Ng, and he plays a character on his YouTube channel called Uncle Roger. Have you seen this?
No.
Uncle Roger is an Asian man who makes fried rice. And the comedian Nigel, when he's playing the character of Uncle Roger, speaks in a very stereotypical Asian accent and makes stereotypical Asian jokes. And a lot of people think this is very funny and give him credit for doing it because he is, like you said, one of those people. One of the people, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of other people said, no good, can't do it, even if it's your own thing. Bad is bad no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, good is good no matter what, too. And hummus is good. And Liz, here's kind of what we're going to talk about here, because the countries that are claiming to have invented or otherwise own hummus have historically not gotten along very well, I guess is the nice way to say that, throughout history.
Why?
So, as you can imagine, well, why? Oh, man. I don't think I have a good way to explain the Middle East peace process or lack of it throughout all of history, but
like
suffice
NATO?
To say...
Any of them NATO?
Let's see. Turkey is a NATO country, sure.
Greece, is Hungary?
I don't know if Greece is. Israel, sure. Hungary, I think Hungary is as well. I should probably know this off the top of my head.
How about Slovakia?
Slovakia, yeah. I think the Slovaks might be as well.
Germany,
for sure. Yeah, I don't really want to take a quiz on the NATO countries.
You should know this
right
off the top of your head.
Anyway, Liz, I don't have the time or attention to tell you about the history of conflict in the Middle East. But what I can tell you is that some of the claims from some of these countries make a little bit more sense than others. And the first piece of evidence we have is that chickpeas themselves, as a plant, were probably first cultivated by humans something like, 10,000 years ago, most likely in Syria, but also possibly in Turkey as well. There are some references in religious texts in Israel that may be talking about chickpeas, but also there might be some translation issues at work here. There's a word that sounds and looks a lot like the word for chickpea, but it also means vinegar. So possibly there's some issue there with whether or not they were actually talking about the same thing. But either way, an interesting thing happened just last year, Alyssa, which was this. There was a journalist named Mahmoud Habush, and he wrote an essay on medieval Arabic culinary traditions. Is that a book maybe that you would want to check out of the library? Medieval
No.
Arabic culinary traditions? No.
I actually need a new book for ELA.
Yeah. Well, what was the last one that you read?
Ghost.
Ghost. What was that about? Oh, I think you told me that. A track runner. What type of book do you think you might want to read next?
Probably the shortest one I can find.
I think, what did I read in seventh grade in ELA? I think we read The Pearl by John Steinbeck. Have you read The Pearl by John Steinbeck?
We just read the Westing Game.
Okay.
And the other house is reading The Maze Runner.
Oh, The Maze Runner. I think that, I've heard good things about that. That was part of that sort of young adult, Hunger Games era where there were all of those books about future dystopias and young women who were going to save society.
And there's also, in sixth grade last year, we read City of Ember.
Oh, City of Ember, I liked a lot. That was a good movie, too.
You liked the movie?
I did. It was fun.
That movie was terrible.
You thought it was terrible?
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that one book? We read it last year, and it's this gang of a bunch of boys. And
oh, The Outsiders, probably.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, The Outsiders.
Yeah, that's a great one. Also a good movie.
I like that. I like that movie,
Patrick
actually.
Swayze, C. Thomas Howell, Charlie
one
Sheen.
One of the boys was really cute in the movie.
Which one? Pony Boy?
No, not that one. I didn't like... I
Dally?
Maybe.
Dary? Whichever one Ralph Macchio played?
Let's see.
I can't wait to see which of these old men that you thought was cute.
Well, one they were littler.
Well, yeah, sure.
It was... Actually,
I'm looking at here from left to right for those of you at home.
I know.
Zoom back in there real fast.
Well, let's see. Maybe it was that one.
Oh, that's Matt Dillon. Sure.
Why is he wearing a Mickey Mouse tank top?
Because I don't know. They were cool.
This is not what I would consider.
That was Emilio Estevez.
Oh, that one.
Oh, Rob Lowe.
Yeah. Who
so,
did he play?
I don't know. But funny story. Rob Lowe still looks exactly like that.
And
like
who's this one?
Later. That's C. Thomas Howell, who played Ponyboy.
Maybe that was him then.
Well, Ponyboy, the protagonist of the story, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's a picture side by side of Rob Lowe then and now. He looks exactly the same. Also, Tom Cruise looks surprisingly similar.
Tom Cruise played in this?
Yeah, that's Tom Cruise in the denim vest. That's Tom Cruise when he was a young man.
Yeah, but who did he play?
I don't know. One of the greasers.
Oh.
Liz, speaking of...
I felt so bad when Jimmy died.
All right, spoiler for a very old book, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, probably
womp
not.
Womp womp if you haven't read it.
That's right. Womp womp, says the girl.
Liz, says my math teacher.
We were speaking about Mahmoud Abush, who wrote an essay on medieval Arabic culinary traditions. He did some original research for this, and it led him to a 13th century Syrian cookbook. And the title of that translates roughly to Scents and Flavors, a Syrian cookbook. And Liz, in this cookbook, there is a recipe for something called hummus bitahini, which is just chickpeas with tahini. And it also incorporates lemon, which makes it, in the ancient literature, the closest thing we have to the first recipe for hummus today. So as far as the historical record is concerned, probably Syria is where we see the first hummus recipe.
Whoa.
Yeah, now there are also some Egyptian cookbooks, also from the 13th century, that are blending chickpeas and other things into a sort of a tasty dip. But these all include vinegar and don't have tahini in them, which makes them slightly different and, you know, probably not what we know as hummus. Now, and like I said, I don't want to weigh in too heavily here. There are regional politics at play. Even the simplest claim of historical relevance is disputed. But Liz, suffice to say, hummus is a thing that has been around for a long time, is very good. And as a result of those two things, everyone wants to claim it as their own.
Yeah.
So my guess is that there was a case of multiple discovery, or what we call simultaneous invention. I don't think you remember this, but you've heard of the concept of twin movies, where two movies come out around the same time with the same general idea. The Prestige and The Illusionist, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
Nope.
No. Okay. Well, that's just, you know.
I have learned on this show to agree with everything you say.
Thanks. That's a good life lesson for you. Yeah. Agree with your father.
And your mother. Oh, always agree with your mother.
Agree with your mother. That's right. Have you ever heard this, Alyssa? It's marriage advice. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Makes
sense,
the
wife
right?
is always right.
Well, remember how we said that things that rhyme just usually sound good but aren't true? In that case, that one's probably true. Liz, all of the constituent ingredients for hummus were available in all of the places that claim it, and the preparation is about the simplest one that ancient people could have made, which is just take everything and mash it together into a big bowl. So probably the most likely story is all these different countries were probably dabbling in something like hummus around the same time. But so far in the historical record, it's Syria in the 13th century. Liz.
Yeah.
What else was going on in the 13th century?
Genghis Khan founded the Mongol Empire.
Uh-huh.
The Crusades were well underway.
Absolutely.
King John signed the Magna Carta.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
St. Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas wrote the Summa Theologiae.
Listen,
you did this on purpose.
Of course I did. I lived in Aquinas Hall in college, named after St. Thomas Aquinas, my second dorm room.
Marco Polo explored the Silk Road.
Marco.
Polo.
Very good.
Eyeglasses and landmines were invented.
Yeah, one of those a really good idea and the other one not so much.
Landmines?
Very good.
What's a landmine?
A landmine is explosive that goes in the ground, and when you step on it or drive over it, it blows you up and you die. Yeah, they're very bad.
Do people still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Kublai Khan was born.
Kublai Khan.
And Gervais of Canterbury died.
Gervais of Canterbury. Liz, have you ever heard this? In Xanadu, did Kublai Khan a stately pleasure dome decree?
No.
No, you're Googling landmines right now?
So it's just like a very high pressure airbag.
Well, I mean, airbags have explosives in them. It's not a high pressure airbag. Liz, it is a weapon of war. The scourge of mankind. Yes, people in war use those. Yes.
What if it accidentally like goes off when you're setting it?
They do sometimes and people die.
Is the landmine also a leg exercise? Because I'm seeing a lot of working out.
A landmine is also a piece of gym equipment, yes. It's a swiveling hinge on the floor that you can put a barbell into and load it up with.
Now I'm terrified.
Well, we are not in a mined area, and you probably will never travel to one if you're lucky.
Colorado.
There are no landmines in Colorado. There are mines in Colorado, deserts, but not that kind of mine. Well, people have to, they don't just appear naturally. People have to put the landmines in the ground. It's a deliberative act. No, there are no landmines in New Jersey. Why would there be landmines in, I mean, technically there.
There could be.
There probably are some, but not on purpose.
What do you mean not on purpose?
Well, I mean, there were places that, well, I don't want to get into this now. Do you know what unexploded ordnance is?
No.
Do you know that sometimes bombs wash up on the beach at the Jersey Shore? Because there are a number of World War II ships that are sunk off the coast of New Jersey, and some of them had ordnance, explosives on them, and sometimes that stuff makes its way free and washes up on the beach.
Can they still go off?
Uh-huh.
Have they ever?
Uh-huh.
Recently?
In New Jersey, I don't know. In other parts of the world, absolutely, for sure. Yeah, you're learning a lot today, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you ready to learn about a different kind of war, Liz?
I also learned that George Washington's teeth aren't wood.
Yeah, that was a myth.
And that he didn't cut down a cherry tree.
Also a myth.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Okay. We were talking about those countries that claim to have invented hummus and how they take those claims very seriously, Liz. I would
perhaps
say...
perhaps too seriously.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little too quiet. This is the hummus war. That's right. In 2008, Alyssa, there was a thing called the hummus war. There are two countries in the Middle East. They're called Israel and Lebanon. And the simplest way to say this is they don't get along very well. Remember how we talked about... They still don't, yes. Remember how we talked about the narcissism of minor difference on a show before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's kind of this. Anyway, the Lebanese believed that hummus was culturally theirs, as in it belonged to them, the idea of hummus. So they tried to file a protective designation of origin. That's hard to say.
Origin.
Protective.
Origin.
Protective designation of origin. Yes,
protective,
thank you.
Protective designation of origin.
Very good. Very good. They tried to file that with the European Union, and it's this thing that allows you to protect the intellectual property of a certain type of food that's associated with a certain place. So, like, champagne, for example, comes from the Champagne region of France, and that's the only place you can get... Champagne. Yeah, that's right. That's the only place you can get actual champagne. Everywhere else, it's sparkling wine of some sort. Parmigiano Reggiano cheese only comes from... a certain region of Italy. Feta cheese only comes from Greece. It's that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this didn't work. The claim from the Lebanese was denied. Meanwhile, the Israelis also felt that hummus was part of their cultural and historical and culinary tradition, and they began referring to it in their marketing materials as their national dish. And naturally, this angered the Lebanese, who figured that if they could get recognition, this is very silly, if they could get recognition in the Guinness Book of World Records for making the largest dish of hummus, then the issue would be settled and they would be able to claim hummus as theirs because they made the most of it. Again, this is all very silly. Alyssa, at various points in time between 2008 and now, Israel and Lebanon have both been able to claim the world record for the largest dish of hummus because they have battled back and forth and made progressively larger and larger and larger dishes of hummus until in 2010, the Lebanese made a plate of hummus that weighed 23,000 pounds. That's a lot of garbanzo beans.
That's such a waste. Do they at least eat it all?
I don't know, actually. That's a great question. I would hope that it was used to feed a large number of people.
Yeah.
Now, Liz, hummus is easy to make at home, even when you're not making 23,000 pounds of it.
Yeah.
There's a few ingredients. The total prep time is usually under 10 minutes of active work. There are lots of good recipes online from people like Mark Bittman and Claire Saffitz and David Leibovitz and Deb Perlman, and they're all mostly the same. You take a food processor and you blitz the chickpeas and the tahini and the garlic and the lemon, and then you season it as you want and you top it with some olive oil. It is simple.
Yeah.
Alyssa, do you remember the time that you made hummus yourself for school?
Unfortunately.
So tell me why it's unfortunate.
Because I hated hummus.
You didn't like it. That's right.
Mm-mm.
Why didn't you like the hummus that you made?
It was way too garlicky.
That's right. There is raw garlic in hummus, which has a particular bite to it, doesn't it?
It was so spicy.
It's very spicy, of that sort of like hot garlic, fresh garlic spice, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you did that?
Like fourth.
Probably fourth grade, something like that. You had a school assignment. You had to make a video of yourself making hummus and pita bread. What? Why was that? Do you remember?
Actually I do. We each got assigned a country and we had to like research it. Uh-huh. And I got Israel.
Oh, interesting.
And Israel was what they said. Like, I think it was ate a lot of hummus or something like that.
The Israelis do eat a lot of hummus. That's true. The cultural idea of hummus being an Israeli snack has made its way into American elementary schools. Fantastic. Fascinating.
Well, I just looked it up and I said, it was like, what country? Oh, it was, I think I looked up, did Italy create hummus? And it said, yes. So I was like, okay.
Really? It said, your web search told you that the Italians created hummus. I wouldn't have guessed.
Israel.
Oh, the Israelis. Oh, sure. Well, I'm sure very much that some of the people in the interior ministry for Israel claim that they have invented hummus. That's true.
Probably.
So, Liz, like we were saying, despite the popularity of hummus in the Middle East for hundreds, if not maybe even thousands of years, Liz, hummus is a more recent phenomenon in the West. Waitrose grocery shops in London only started stocking it in 1980. But today, nearly half, 41% of Britons have what they call a pot of hummus in the fridge. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Sabra, Alyssa, is today the world's largest producer of hummus. This is a company that was founded in the U.S., of all places, in 1986, although they were sold to an Israeli interest in 2005. There's another hint. It wasn't until 2010, Alyssa, that the New York Times did a trend piece on hummus. So for this part of the world, hummus is kind of a newish thing.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we go through those health food trends pretty cyclically here, and there's always a need for a new thing to latch on to. And hummus is high in protein and healthy fats and has few ingredients, so it kind of fits the bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that hummus is a fancy snack, Alyssa?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Because I always see it on those weird, like, protein boards that you make.
Weird, like, protein boards that you make. Oh, like a charcuterie board that also has a hummus component to it, usually with, like, a crudité arranged around it. Mm-hmm. Sliced raw vegetables to dip into it. Yeah, I think hummus is one of those pseudo fancy snacks too. It's like one of those things where if you were going to go to a play date at a friend's house and they wanted to put out some snacks for you to do that like fancy mom thing, there's sort of like a hierarchy to the fanciness of the snacks, right? So like a bowl of potato chips is the low end.
Mm-hmm.
And then like chips and salsa, maybe a little higher.
That's what we had yesterday.
That's right. And then hummus and pita is like above that.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Like a chip and a dip, but there's sort of like
a chip and a dip.
A chip and a dip, but there's like levels to the fanciness. It's like, you know, it's the water in the fridge door of after school snacks. Very classy to a kid, even if it's like the most basic thing in the world to people from another place.
Yeah.
Would you say it's your favorite of the fancy after school snacks?
No.
No, but you know what my favorite part of this show is?
Alyssa reads the ingredients.
Alyssa reads the ingredients. Liz, can you tell us what is in Sabra hummus, the best-selling hummus in the entire world for 10 years running now?
Cooked chickpeas, water, tahini, which is ground sesame.
Very good.
Soybean oil, garlic, salt, citric acid, potassium sorbate to maintain freshness.
Yeah, so it's all the things we would expect. Chickpeas, tahini, garlic, and then interestingly enough, we use olive oil. Most recipes will call for olive oil. It's native to the Mediterranean, but this uses a more stable and cheaper soybean oil. And then citric acid, Alyssa, in place of lemon juice to get the same sort of sour pucker, but without, again, the shelf stability issues that real lemon would give you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's like, you know, some mass-produced food stuff going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have something to say about that in just a minute. Before we do that, let's get to the rules of the game. Are you ready?
Yes.
Junk Feud is a culinary clash to see which treat will be crowned the undisputed champion of snacks. It's a King of the Mountain style battle in which the reigning champ takes on a new challenger each week to see which snack reigns supreme. And Alyssa?
Yeah?
The reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is... Takis. Takis, Liz, specifically Takis Fuego, the rolled tortilla chip with the spicy chili lime flavor. We really like these, obviously.
Yeah.
In the epic heavyweight battle of Hot Cheetos versus Takis, the reason we all came out, Takis came out on top.
Yeah.
Liz, would you say they won via roll-up?
Oh my goodness, Dad, you're so funny.
Because they're rolled, you get it?
Uh-huh.
It went without saying, didn't it? Well, anyway, Liz, today we're trying hummus.
Hummus.
We've got a fresh package of Sabra hummus, like we said, the number one pre-made brand in America for more than 10 years. Liz, you may not believe this. People on the internet like to hate on Sabra hummus.
Grr.
Yeah, there's a subreddit for hummus that, like, by itself attracts hummus detractors. It's fascinating to me on its own that there is a subreddit for hummus, but everybody there hates store-bought hummus, especially Sabra. People don't like it because it's not homemade. They say it's under-seasoned. It's been called the McDonald's of hummus, which sounds like a compliment to me, actually, but I understand what they're saying.
Me too.
I've heard people say that it tastes bitter, sour, artificial. People don't like that it's made with soybean oil instead of olive oil or citric acid instead of real lemon juice, which we said. I think a fair amount of that, Alyssa, is the idea that something that comes from a store could never be as good as the recipe that all these people grew up eating, that their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother made. And there's some legitimacy to that, I think. But we're going to see what we think about it. We just have the plain Sabra hummus. We're going to try the basics.
Yeah.
But Liz, what's that?
Oh my goodness. We don't have any other types of hummus.
Yeah, we didn't get any of the other flavored hummuses. A lot of people like the roasted red pepper Sabra hummus.
And there's just a lot, and we're not going to eat it.
Yeah, that's right. But we do have a lot of things to dip into the hummus that we have.
Yes.
We've got some pita dippers. We've got some pita
fresh
chips.
Non-dippers.
Yeah, that's right. We've got some carrot sticks, which are cool and crunchy. So all the types of things that you would naturally dip into hummus to try it with. And Alyssa, we also have an impromptu, hey, look, Ma, we made it.
Yeah.
Because we revisited fourth grade and you made hummus this afternoon. That's right. We blitzed some chickpeas up with some tahini and some garlic and some lemon juice and some olive oil in the food processor.
Okay, I'm hungry. Let's crunch.
All right, it's crunch time. We rate our snacks using a tier list from Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
So snacks can be graded A, B, C, D, or F, with the very best treats earning the elusive S tier ranking. The following contest is scheduled for one serving.
One serving.
And it's for the undisputed championship of junk food. Very good. Liz.
Yeah.
Here I have the Sabra hummus. Why don't you tell me about the packaging while I'm getting the other stuff ready for us?
It's red with an orange heart. Like a sun, kind of?
Yeah, that's an interesting logo, because it looks like a heart, it looks like the sun, but Liz, what else does it look like?
I don't know.
I mean, it looks like a butt, but also it looks like a chickpea. It looks like a chickpea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? So you're popping it open. It's got a little bit of cellophane wrap on the top.
Oh, I see where they're coming from with the Sabra hummus, like the artificial taste, because I had it at Ski. I had this one.
Yeah, just plain hummus.
Actually, I had the garlic roasted one.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I don't like pita.
You don't like pita?
Pita bread.
Really? Why is that?
Because when we made it in fourth grade, I didn't like it.
Oh, I thought the one you made in fourth grade was really good, like dynamite knockout. But listen, a pita and hummus, obviously a very traditional snack in the Middle East.
That's a lot.
Well, I want to see what it tastes like. It smells a little bit garlicky. You can get a little acidity coming through from the lemon.
Bread.
A lot of lemon.
This is my dinner.
The flavor here is more of dehydrated garlic, like garlic powder, would you say, than it is like a fresh garlic?
Yeah.
On the naan, it is a perfect little bite. The hummus is cool and creamy. It's got just a little bit of grit to it, like a little bit of granularity in the texture to remind you that you're eating real food and not just some paste. It's a little salty. The garlic and the lemon are in perfect balance, I think. This is good.
It's pretty good.
Let's try it with a carrot now. You've already moved on to the pita chips. What do you think, fresh pita versus pita chips?
Pita chips. Oh my goodness.
All right, I'm going to try the pita chip now because...
We should have got the Mediterranean herb pita chips while we were out. Those are so...
You know, I thought about that. I saw them on the shelf. I didn't want to detract from the experience of trying the hummus straight up. I do like the pita chips because they're a little bit saltier than the fresh pita dippers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have that sort of toasty flavor from being baked. And I think the carrot pairs beautifully because it's a little bit sweet, very crunchy. It's sort of like the perfect canvas to spread the pita on. Or excuse me, to spread the hummus on.
I remember when you were on that grasshopper team.
Shout out to the Morristown Grasshoppers.
When you were on that team, and I would sit with Bailey in the tent. She would always try to get me to eat the hummus, and I would never eat it.
Shout out to Bailey. Yeah, that's true. Because they were trying to be good older role models for you. Now, Liz, I have in front of me our hummus that we made today, that you made today. We've dressed it up with a little drizzle of olive oil and a little shake of paprika on top for color. I think ours looks way better. I think ours smells way better, too.
Yeah.
Liz, I'll say for texture, our homemade hummus is better. It's lighter, it's fluffier, it's airier. It feels a little bit more oily on the palate because of the addition of the olive oil. I will say, though, probably because we don't make this often, and this was our first crack at it, I think maybe our flavorings are a little bit out of balance here.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably use a little bit more salt.
A little less garlic.
A little less garlic. We're slightly on the bitter side. It could probably use a little more acid. We used a whole giant lemon in this, but we could probably have stood to put a little bit more lemon juice in even. I still think it's very good. You did a great job on this, kid. You know what's nice about this too, Liz?
What?
There's two things, I think. Number one is that I don't feel guilty at all eating this.
Why?
Typically when we do this show, I feel like trash afterwards because we eat a bunch of stuff that's really not good for us. This feels like it's good for me because I know what's in it and it's all stuff that's good. Like real whole foods, especially in the one that we made, no added preservatives or other gunk that probably we don't want to put into our bodies. Also, because this doesn't have a bunch of those chemical additives, like the things that are put into, say, hot Cheetos and Takis, for example, that make you want to eat more, I don't feel like I'm going to just sit here and gorge on this and get super full and feel gross. It truly is a snack in like the traditional sense of a small thing to eat between meals. Instead of like a whole bag of chips or whatever, it's just a few bites of something tasty to hold me over. And in your case, because you have to leave for basketball soon.
This is my dinner.
This is going to be your dinner tonight, I think. So anyway, let's get to the bliss point while we're thinking about that. We've tried two different types of plain hummus. Obviously, there are lots of flavored hummuses. They all add to the base model, as it were. We tried a homemade version. Pretzels and hummus. That would be nice.
Oh, those twisted honey ones.
That would be interesting, too, because that would add a little bit of sweetness the same way that the carrots do. So what do you think, kiddo? On the tier list from Sprinkles to Fun Dip, where do you put hummus?
I give it a B.
A B flat?
Yeah.
Liz, you know what? Surprisingly enough, I think that's right where I sit, too, with hummus. It is a good food. It is a simple food. It is a classic and traditional food. It's something that I feel good about eating. I have a friend who has a dairy allergy, and when we go out to eat to places that use like a yogurt-based sauce, for example, he'll always ask for hummus in place of the yogurt sauce as sort of like, you know, a dip or something for the food. And I think that's a nice kind of sentiment that hummus is always there when you need it. but yeah, B flat. It's not like knocking my socks off. I'm not going to eat it every day, but it is solid. It's a standard. I understand why everybody loves hummus and why they're willing to fight over it.
Yeah.
And why you're willing to eat it for dinner tonight.
Well.
But with all that, I gotta say, and I think you're in agreement, your winner and still reigning defending undisputed heavyweight champion of snacks is Takis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was really ever any doubt. Like we said, hummus is good, but it just cannot compete with the alchemy of a Taki.
Yeah.
Liz,
what?
Speaking of alchemy, obviously... Oreos, sort of the progenitor on this show for figuring out how to make mass-produced snacks that everybody loves and everybody wants to eat, but no Oreo rule this week.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we're sort of in a down period, although, Liz, I was at Target yesterday and they had racks and racks of Space Dunk Oreos there on sale. So I'm still selfishly happy about that because now there's going to be more for me to eat.
Yeah.
We do, however, Alyssa, ask a very important question on this show each and every week. Can you deep fry this week's snack? Will it deep fry? What do you think, bud? Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to make hummus fries or hummus fritters, which is just you blend up your hummus and you just make it a little bit thicker, I guess, than you would otherwise.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just cut it or form it into friable shapes and drop it into a deep fryer. And that would be pretty good, I think. Some fried hummus. Liz, have you ever heard of falafel?
Yeah.
A lot of people say that falafel is just fried hummus. It's not. It's different. But it is still a form of ground and fried chickpeas. So people reductively call it fried hummus. Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
You know what else is pretty silly, Liz? And this is wild.
What?
And a lot of people, just like they're upset with the stories about the origins of hummus, dessert hummus, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Dessert hummus. People are up in arms. Very upset online about dessert hummus, which is really basically just ground chickpeas, just like with hummus. But then instead of being mixed with tahini, it's blended with sweet things like peanut butter or chocolate or caramel or even like maple syrup and walnuts. Do you think you would like that? Chickpeas blended up with chocolate? I mean, some people do like it. Food scholars in particular have called it an abomination and disrespectful. But I don't know. It seems pretty fun to me. I don't know. I'm not going to try it, but it seems fun. You know what else is fun, Alyssa?
The back of the box.
The back of the box. It's time to check out the back of the box, a weekly segment in which we play a little game.
Yeah.
Alyssa, would you like to play a game? All right, listen, I'm going to give you your choice this week.
Yeah.
We have two different possibilities for you.
What?
Would you like to do Pecs in a Pickle, or would you like to do seasonally appropriate?
Pecs in a Pickle.
Very well then. On Pecs in a Pickle, we try pickle flavored snacks, Liz.
I didn't know that those were the other options.
Easter's coming up this month, bud. It's a big food holiday. We're going to talk more about that as we get closer. But jelly beans, Alyssa, are a big deal at Easter. Last year, we tried black jelly beans, remember?
Yeah.
We didn't really like them that much, did we? I think we respected the long and storied history of the black licorice-flavored jelly bean, but it was not our favorite thing. Is that about right?
Sure.
You don't agree, do you?
No.
Well, today...
Ooh, pretty sunset. See it through the window.
Shout out to the sun.
Yeah.
Today, Alyssa, as evidenced by the title of this segment, we have some pickle-flavored jelly beans.
Yeah.
Are you excited about this?
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic, I think. I saw these pop up at Target. I knew we had to have them for the show. What do you think they're going to be like?
Probably green apple.
Yeah, I don't know. We've eaten a lot of pickle-flavored snacks on the show and, on the program, and they've been hit or miss so far. Yeah, sorry. For those of you at home who are
insert side
listening, she just side-eyed me very hard. Liz, some of the stuff we try actually does taste like pickles. Thank you. I'm having trouble here. And it works. And some doesn't taste like pickles. And I don't know. Where I'm going with this is that it's hard to get a pickle snack right.
Oh,
you don't like the smell.
What so the
these
heck?
Are, Alyssa, these are Clausen branded jelly beans made by the Frankfurt Candy
They're gonna
Company
taste
from
like pickle.
Pennsylvania.
You
smelled them and immediately recoiled like a scared reptile. Wow. Oh, wow. So these are very pickly smelling. They smell a lot like the pickle mochi smelled, which was a lot of dill, a big plug of vinegar.
I'm going in.
Oh. Oh. Oh, that's awful. Oh, I don't like it. You finish the whole thing. You're making a face.
No, it doesn't even get better.
You're all scrunched up. Yeah, this is weird. It's very, very strongly dill flavored on the inside. Like big vinegar pop, strong dill, a little bit of that sort of like puckering aspic, but it's sweet.
I always have a hard time swallowing jelly beans.
I can't
swallow
it. It's stuck in my teeth now. There's like the sweet candy shell where you think all the flavor is on the inside. Yeah, the outside is just sweet sugar, like candy. And then the actual jelly bean itself is on the inside. That tastes like pickle, but when you chew it all together, Liz, oh, it's hard.
Ugh.
I don't like these at all. Bring them to school for your friends.
No.
You don't think your friends would like the excellent snack of pickle jelly beans?
Mm-mm.
What do you say on the ranking for these?
D minus.
I'll go D plus, gentleman's F. I give them credit for trying. They're cashing in on the trend.
Gentleman's F, that's what I have in math. Just kidding.
Gross.
Just kidding. I actually have a C.
You have a C in math?
But it's going up because I'm taking a test and everything's super easy. So
good grief, woman. Well, anyway, I hope you get an excellent grade in math. And I hope this podcast reaches you in excellent condition. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. If you've got a question for us, you can write to the address on the label. That's junkfoodpod@gmail.com. Liz.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Nair.
Nair. This podcast has contained your recommended daily allowance of fun. For more, go to X, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, or wherever you choose to be social, and find us at Junk Food Pod. You can watch fun-sized reviews on YouTube, buy our merch on TeePublic, and don't forget to catch all the snacks in each and every week wherever you listen to podcasts. Until we see you again, for Alyssa, I'm Mike.
Justin.
Don't get any on ya.
Bye.
Hummus.